Let's turn to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the blessings, in chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. Now let's read the first two or three verses. Now when he saw, that is Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed Father in heaven, we thank you for all of your blessings. And we ask you to teach us today about these specific blessings that Jesus talked about. And we pray that you give us understanding and you'll help us to see the application of it, and that we would be encouraged as we realize that we are blessed through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Now teach us your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this first sermon, I just want to give you an overview. We won't deal with these specific blessings or one specific blessing, but I want to talk about them in their context, what they mean in the big picture of it all. So hopefully we can accomplish that with the help of the Lord today. And we could summarize this whole section of scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, in one word. Guess what that one word is? B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Blessed. And I want you to leave this sermon realizing how profoundly blessed you are. In fact, I want you to have an assurance. I want you to understand with great confidence and assurance that we are blessed right now and forevermore in Jesus Christ. That's right. Right now, we have right now blessings in Jesus Christ, and more even in the future when it comes to the maturity when Jesus comes back. But we don't have to wait for Jesus to come back to start enjoying the blessings that God has given us right now. You are blessed. Say it with me. I am blessed. We're blessed by the King. That's what you are. You're not under a curse. You say, "Oh, Pastor, sometimes it feels like it." We can't go on our feelings. We got to go on what the scripture says and the confidence we have in the truth that is in Jesus Christ, guaranteed by his death, burial, and resurrection. We are blessed. Now, I want to give this overview not only from these scriptures, but let's look at today's message of the Beatitudes in the entirety of the Bible, even the Old Testament. And there are some parallels and there are some contrasts between the Old Testament and these Beatitudes through Jesus Christ. His purpose was not trying to show people how they needed to be more humble or this or that so they could be saved, but this is a declaration. I'm going to say this again and again. This is a grand announcement to his disciples. This message was directly to them. And other crowds, other people came and listened in as well, but it was to his disciples who were already converted, who were already saved. And he wanted them to know that a new life had begun in them. Let's look at verse 1. He says, "And now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down." He said, why did he stand up and preach? Because it was the tradition of that day that the rabbis, and he was considered a rabbi by the general public, they would sit down and the people would come and learn at quote unquote their feet. Not necessarily that, you know, he had to be right up next to his foot, but sitting down, they sat down at his feet and he taught them. It was their manner of teaching. And it says his disciples came to him, his disciples now, and he began to teach them saying, "Blessed." And you see over and over again, him saying, "Blessed, blessed, blessed." And we'll get into that structure and what that teaches us a little bit later. But he's on the mountainside. And you can consider his disciples came. They're like the inner circle. And you have a concentric circle of the crowd behind them. And we know that the crowd was there because later on it says, and they astounded at his teaching, that he did not teach like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He taught as one having authority. That is, he taught from the word of God. So they all heard. But this message was to the disciples. He wanted to make an announcement to them, and a startling announcement, in fact. But let's look at the entire expanse of Scripture. Who was the first king? The first king was Adam. Adam. Well, look at these parallels between Adam and Moses, the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're parallels, they're contrasts, and they're differences. The curse and the blessing. Adam represented the curse. Christ, the second Adam, represents the blessing. Christ comes as a new king. You see, Adam was a king. God gave him authority over all of the earth. He said, be fruitful and multiply. He had that dominion. But now we have Jesus after Adam fell. We have a new king, a king who will not fall. And he brings blessings rather than the cursings that came from the first Adam. The first Adam was tested in a beautiful garden, and he failed. The second Adam, the last Adam, Christ, was tested in a threatening wilderness, and he succeeded. Notice the difference? With the thief on the cross, remember that? But there was another thief before the thief on the cross, and that thief was Adam. God told him, do not partake of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he stole it. He took it anyway. He was a thief. And he was cast out of paradise. Now, by contrast, on the cross, there was a thief with the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And the thief on the cross turned to Jesus Christ. And Christ turned to him. And he said to the thief on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. That's from Luke 23:43. Imagine that. The first thief cast out. The second thief, through Jesus Christ, made him a promise. Today, the blessing starts for you today. You will be with me in paradise. What a wonderful contrast. Because that same king is Jesus Christ, who's with us today. And he's telling us, you are with me in paradise. I'm going to show you that in a moment. We have this new king. The old one's dethroned. The new king has a new message, which is closely related to the message of the Old Testament and was the fulfillment of the very text of the Old Testament. The new king brings the good news of the gospel and showers of blessings. That's from the book of Ezekiel. There will be showers of blessings. They used to sing that, as I told you a while ago, as a little child. We're saying we're living in the overflow. We're getting the full amount and more of God's blessings through Jesus Christ, who brings blessings, not curses. The blessing, telling them over and over, 8 times, some counted 9, some counted 8, you're blessed, 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 blessed. Imagine that. The king said, you're blessed and blessed. You repeat things for emphasis so that we get the point that we are blessed. It was an astounding revelation that he brought, that Moses wrote about, that David and the other prophets, they wrote about it, and they were witness to it. But they were witnessing to the great message that was coming. You see, the last message of the Old Testament is quite different from what Jesus brought. The last message of the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6 says, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Wow, a stark warning of a coming curse. That's not how Jesus came. But the prophets left that message for the people. There's a curse coming. Now, in contrast, in the New Testament, it begins with a series of blessings, of beatitudes. The Old Testament was characterized by Mount Sinai with its law. And when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, what did he hear? What did the people hear? Loud thunder. They didn't hear blessings. It was thunder and lightning. It was a storm. And there were warnings of judgment and curses. In the New Testament, it is characterized by another mountain. And that mountain is Mount Zion, which is the church, with its grace and salvation and healing and blessings and joy and peace heralds that mountain. You can see that in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. I'm just giving you this broad context in which Jesus makes this announcement, because this is what the Jews had come to understand. They lived in a great deal of fear and in trepidation about being cursed for breaking the law. The Old Testament, the book of the generations of Adam, it is called, ends with a curse. In the New Testament, the book of the generations is of Jesus Christ. All of the generations come down to the birth of Jesus Christ. And it ends with a promise. There shall no longer be any curse. That's in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 3. And there will no longer be any curse. The last warning and the last thing of the New Testament is a removal of all curses. And the coming of all blessings. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Old Testament gave us a law to draw men and show them that there needed to be a Savior and to show man his misery. The New Testament gives life to show man his bliss, his blessing. The Sermon on the Mount is a beautiful revelation of the great King and his great blessings for his people. And I hope that we're all will be blessed as we study this book. It teaches us, I'm going to say it again and again, that we are blessed now and forevermore in our great King, Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus even announced this. Amongst the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who hated him. And he said this, the kingdom of God is among you. Imagine them hearing that. Wait a minute. We've been waiting for the kingdom of God all these centuries and millennia, and you're saying the kingdom of God is among you. And he was speaking of himself, the kingdom of God. Luke 17, 21 is in your midst. He says, I, the kingdom of God, I am in your midst. For the king and the kingdom are identified as one. Wherever Jesus is the kingdom of God and all the blessings of the kingdom. And therefore he came bringing the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God and all of the accompanying blessings that are theirs. He was like a herald. He was like someone trumpeting, you're blessed. And that trumpeting went towards those who believed, his disciples. That is where we are, is his disciples who believe. Blessed. See, that word blessed means more than a feeling of being happy. It includes that too. But this is a blessed assurance. Remember I said, I want you to be assured that we are blessed now and forevermore. And it all hinges on the King of the kingdom not only be amongst us, but in us. This assurance of well-being, this confidence, this peace, this joy, and may I even suggest again, this contentment in Christ, this fruit of the divine king, of the divine nature. The kingdom is within you because the king is in you. Therefore, we can have that assurance. Therefore, no matter what's happening all around us, we can be blessed because we're in the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit even witnesses with our spirit. Romans 8 tells us that we are the children of God, heirs of God, heirs of the kingdom, heirs of the joy and the peace, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, long suffering. We ought to be, and we are through Jesus Christ, the happiest, most blessed people in the entire world, heirs of God. Would you turn with me to Ephesians, and we're going to go to Colossians. We are blessed right now. I just want you to get that. And that you ought to wake up every morning counting your blessings. Every day, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, because Jesus lives in me. And he has blessed me and is blessing me. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul here starts just breaking out into a praise. And he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. He can't help himself. When he thought about the Lord and everything that we have in Jesus. And he writes here in verse 3, and he just starts praising. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are blessed now and forevermore in Christ. Right now. You say, but I don't feel it. That's all right. You got to know it first. It is by faith in Christ with every spiritual blessing. In other words, he didn't leave out any. You're not one card short of a blessing with every spiritual blessing. You know, you might say, well, Pastor, are you preaching a prosperity gospel? Yes, I am. Now, hold on. Don't y'all click off because I don't believe in that prosperity stuff. Don't click off. Don't go. Wait. I'm preaching the true prosperity gospel, the true blessing gospel, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking Rolls Royces. I'm not talking private jets. I'm not talking about your mansion. I'm talking about something that lasts longer than all that stuff. Those are trinkets. Jesus came to tell us that we were blessed, blessed beyond measure. Blessed more than you can realize right now with every blessed us in heavenly realms. That is the realm of Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwell within us and manifest those blessings in us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everyone is yours in Christ. And he's brought you. In fact, he's rescued you. He broke into the kingdom of Adam, which he turned over to the kingship of the devil. See, the devil had a kingdom. He got it from Adam, who gave it away for an apple. Now, we don't know what that fruit was. Whatever that fruit was, he gave it away to the devil. But Jesus has come to free us from that king and to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness. See, that's what salvation is about. This blessing where we have been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness by the king. That's why he said in Luke 17:21, the king is here. The king is here. Announce that the king is here and you are in his kingdom. Come with me to the book of Colossians very quickly. Colossians, and I'm going to get into more of the background and the structure of the book. Colossians chapter 4. Now chapter 1. Chapter 1. And in verse 13. Look at what Paul wrote to them. It says in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance. He's qualified you. You don't have to qualify for the kingdom. He's qualified you by taking all of your sins, putting them on Jesus, exchanging and crediting your sins, my sins, to his account. He paid for it on the cross. And then he credited and qualified the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us. So therefore we can praise the Lord, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, not of darkness, not of cursings, but a kingdom of blessings. For he has rescued us. He has stormed the gates of hell, unchained you from being a slave to sin and Satan, and has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves. Are you into the kingdom now? See, there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan and darkness, or the kingdom of Christ and light and blessings and righteousness. Which do you want, the blessing or the cursing? He offers it to you, even in the sermon, that by faith, we stop trying to do our own thing, our own way, and keep coming up with the same curses and the same misery. And he says to you, come to me. Jesus says, come into my kingdom. I paid for it. And you will have showers of blessings. It'll be overflowing with blessings. And you will have joy and peace, fulfillment. Because he's done it. And he can bring you. If you simply believe in him, put your faith in him, not in yourself. Repent of your sins and turn to him and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for that invitation. And brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And all of these blessings that I'm going on and on about, we are blessed. And the offer of that kingdom, the offer of that blessing, stands open to all. And these blessings are present. When we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, and also in Colossians 1:13, that kingdom is now, for the king is alive. He's been raised from the dead, and he lives, and he wants to come and live in us. Let me leave you with just a few pointers here in the structure. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. These are technical things, but it helps us get to the picture that the kingdom and the blessings are present and they are future. The whole structure is set up that way. You will see that there are 8 and perhaps 9 blessings that you see. Look, verse 3, blessed. Verse 4, blessed. Verse 5, blessed. Verse 6, blessed. Verse 7, blessed. Verse 8, blessed. Verse 9, blessed. Verse 10, blessed. All right. And actually, verse 11 says blessed as well, but it is sort of an expansion of the subject of verse 10, which had to do with being persecuted because of righteousness. So he persecuted in verse 10 and persecuted in verse 11. So let's say we have 8, but it's one unit, 8 blessings, one unit of blessings, of beatitudes. Now look at something. In verse 3, we see it's stated this way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's present tense right now. Is the kingdom. Theirs is. It's yours right now. Now, I want us to go to verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's saying this to his disciples, encouraging them, declaring to them, announcing to them that the kingdom is theirs. Right now, present tense, verses 3 and 10. But verses 3 and 10 make the 2 sliced breads of a sandwich. 3, the kingdom is yours. Verse 10, the kingdom is yours. Theirs is the kingdom. In between verse 3 and verse 10, we have other verses. Blessed are those, like in verse 4, who mourn, for they will be comforted. Ah, that's future, isn't it? And all of them, from verse 4 through verse 9, speak of the future, like verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Those are future. But they do not negate the present either. There is the presence of the kingdom now, but it will be totally fulfilled when Jesus comes back. Let's go back to, for example, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God comforts us now in all of our troubles. We have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, with us now. But the comfort will not be completed until Jesus comes back. And we read in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And he says, and then there will be no more crying. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to quote it word for word. I'm going to paraphrase. There will be no more crying. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more death, for the former things are passed away. You see what I'm saying? That the kingdom is now already, and it is also future. It is also coming. But we have the blessing of enjoying the now and that which is to come. We'll get more into that next week. But right now, what should be our response? First of all, we should thank God for his blessing of taking us out of the kingdom of darkness and blessing us and bringing us into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God. We ought to not only thank him for that salvation, we need to pray for others that God would rescue them. See, Paul wrote in Colossians, he rescued them. In other words, they won't come on their own. They can't come on their own. They are slaves to sin. Just as we were. It's not looking down on anybody else. We too were held captive by sin and the devil. Pray that God will rescue our friends, our loved ones, people we don't even know, and bring them into the kingdom. Pray for unbelievers that they may believe. And thank God every day for his blessings, for placing you in Jesus Christ and giving you the strength to live in a kingdom life, and that you have that life in you, that you've got joy and peace and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and you're mighty in Jesus Christ. Thank him for that. And then stand up and walk in it. Stand up and walk in it. Here we sit in this sermon, but you got to stand up in the truth and stand on the promise. Remember that old song which is saying, standing, standing. Don't let me sing, y'all. Standing right on the promises of God. And then after you stand, you got to walk. You've got to get to stepping. And you have to walk in the Holy Spirit that God has given you. And then as we do that, even in the midst of pain and difficulty and all kinds of obstacles, we can be more than conquerors through the King who has defeated death, who's defeated disease and sickness. And we can live the abundant, yes, prosperous life, for we've been given every spiritual blessing we need. Let us praise God. Let us believe him and walk in faith and live it and be lights. This little light of mine, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to hide it under a bush in my neighborhood, everywhere. People will know the presence of the King as we rejoice in this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are blessed. Be assured of that. We're blessed now and forevermore in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the blessing. We thank you that you loved us so much. Not only make us your children, but your heirs of everything you own. We thank you for rescuing us out of the kingdom of darkness, forgiving us of our sins, and filling us with the righteousness of Jesus. Oh, Father, if there's anybody listening to this message today, we pray that you'd work in their minds and hearts, that you would tear down strongholds that's holding them in bondage and chains, and free them from the devil, and give them that joy and freedom that only comes through Jesus Christ, our King. And help us to walk in this truth. Holy Spirit, we need you to do it through us. We are weak on our own, but with you, we're strong. We thank you for this, Lord, and do help us. Help us in, even in our unbelief. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. Chapter 26 and verse 19. Let's read about this blessing. That's what the Lord's Supper is known by in Latin. It's called in Latin the Eucharist because it's giving thanks and it's blessing. Verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. We ought to give thanks all the time that we are a part of his kingdom. And he made us a part of his kingdom by giving his body and blood for us. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. And I was astounded at this, that Jesus was giving thanks on the night before his death. Wow. Because he knew where he'd come from and where he was going. And he knew what it would mean to you and me. Life, being part of his kingdom. Jesus took bread and he gave thanks, gave Eucharist, and broke it and said to his disciples, turned to them and said, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he offered to them saying, drink from it, all of you. He's blessing the bread and he's blessing the wine. Those elements, the reality of those elements are the things, his body and blood, that make us a part of his kingdom. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. And the bottom line of the new covenant is this. He says, I will be their God. And they will be my people. I am the king and they are citizens of the kingdom. And all the blessings of the kingdom, all those blessings, praise God from whom all blessings flow down to us, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Our sins are forgiven right now. But there's a future aspect of the Lord's Supper as well. There are future blessings. For we see in verse 29, I tell you the truth. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. This is a kingdom activity. I hate to use the word of activity. It is a communion with God through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is a kingdom right and privilege. Let's put it that way. We have no right. We've been given the privilege by the blood of Jesus Christ to participate in this kingdom communion with God. His subjects, his children with the king. We're royalty. By the blood of Jesus. And it says, and when they had sung a hymn, oh, they were praising God. They went out to the Mount of Olives. And so now, let us pray. And let us ask God to bless the bread And the why? I'll just leave it there and I'll start praying. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the body and the blood of Jesus. We thank you for this communion, that we're blessed to have common union with the King. We share your spirit. Thank you for the privilege of being made part of the body of Jesus Christ and partakers of the divine nature of the Holy Spirit that brings Father, Son into us. Father, we don't even know what that means to its fullest extent. We can't even explain it with words. And we know it's real, it's true, for your word is that. Thank you for making us a part of your kingdom and kingdom life. So, Father, we ask you to bless the bread, the body of Christ. Let us experience all of the strength and all the blessings of the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. And bless the wine that seals the covenant, that forgives us of all of our sins and fills us with the righteousness of Jesus. We're reminded of that when we eat and drink, and we're strengthened in that through faith. So bless it, Lord, and bless us as we commune with you in your supper. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And now let us, as we eat and drink of the Lamb, let us listen to, and you can sing too as you eat. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb.
Jesus.